The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, that person will not lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now today's Gospel is taken from that passage in St. Matthew, which I told you about last Sunday and the Sunday before. A passage in which Jesus speaks to his 12 disciples. He doesn't yet call them apostles. And he instructs them so that they can go out on their own to the villages and towns through which he's about to pass and prepare the people by their preaching for Jesus' coming. He instructs them, as you remember, not to be afraid, but rather to do all that they do for God and for him. Now this week, he says something that is very startling, very unexpected. And his words still provoke us today. He says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Now, before we can answer what those words mean to us, we have to ask, what did they mean to the people who heard them? What did they mean in the first century? How did Jesus' followers receive these words? Now, the language that is used here is very important. The word that's used for disciples is the word mathetes. And mathetes means one who is the learner at the feet, one who listens, one who is changed by the words of the teacher. So Jesus is speaking specifically to the 12, and he speaks to them in such a way as to demand their entire attention and loyalty. But for the Jews, when they heard these words, they would have immediately related them to the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments, as we usually picture them, dating back to our school or catechism classes, are two tablets with five commandments on one panel and five commandments on the other. But in fact, that's incorrect. That's not the way the Jews wrote them. There are three commandments on the first panel. Three commandments that deal with God. And commandments 4 through 10 are written on the second panel. And they deal with human relationships. The three on the first panel can never be changed, and there is no exception to them. There is one God. He must be honored. His name must be held holy. his the day of the Lord must be held sacred. The other commandments begin, honor thy father and mother. And the word that's used is a very powerful word. It's kavod. And kavod in Hebrew means glorify. Give glory to your parents, to your father and mother. And that fourth commandment acts as the foundation for all the other human relationships that are talked about in the commandments that follow. So how is it that Jesus can say, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me? If you were to send your child to college and a professor walked into his classroom and said, unless you love me more than your parents, you can't take this course. He'd be reported, and you'd want your money back. How can Jesus say the same thing? Well, it's because Christ is revealing something to his disciples. What is the most important thing that Jesus tells his disciples? What is the most important thing? It's to reveal to them that he is the Son of God and God himself. That in the one God, there is a trinity of persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest thing that Jesus tells us, the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Now, he teaches this to his disciples. He reveals it to them gradually, step by step, because if he simply said, I'm God, and I'm equal to the Father, he would have been stoned as a blasphemer. So he reveals it to his disciples gradually. And at certain times, some of them, notably St. Peter, has an enlightenment from God and says something before he understands the words that he uses completely. He says to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what does Jesus answer? He says, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because it wasn't flesh and blood that revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Peter's already way ahead of the others. The others are learning by the miracles that Jesus performs, by the wisdom with which he speaks, by the kindness that he shows, by the way in which he deals with enemies, foreigners, sinners, by his power over nature. All of this together builds up that foundation within them where they can believe in something that to others violates everything in Judaism, but for us completes it. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, not just a prophet, nor a general who will redeem Israel from its enemies, but the very Son of God himself. So as the disciples heard these words and reflected upon them later, they wouldn't just think of the Ten Commandments. They would think of the great Shema, the verse from Deuteronomy that devout Jews repeated 7 times a day and still do today if they're observant. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. So Jesus' words are not spoken to destroy family life. They're written, they're spoken in order that we might know who he is, and then through him, because he has become man, because he stretches his arms out on the cross, because he rises on the third day, we have through him the strength and the support and the power, the grace, to be better sons and daughters, to be better fathers and mothers, to be better husbands and wives, because we are given to understand the whole picture of human nature and our vocation as human beings. We've all seen heroic non-Catholic friends who have been marvelously devoted to the care of aged parents, to caring for their children, to giving their little ones a better opportunity than they had. We've all heard such heroic stories. We've seen them in our lives. But what we don't realize in the 21st century, in our secular post-Christian age, is that so much of this is because of Christianity. The world's understanding of marriage and the world's understanding of children changed enormously because of the gospel, because of the influence of the church, because of the civilizing effects of Jesus' words on us. And these words have brought about such an increase in our sense of human dignity and human care that the world has become a far better place. Just think that within the last 200 years and less, there have been reforms in civilized countries of child labor laws. Children were seen as a commodity, part of the workforce. And though that might have been the case on family farms, in one way it was certainly very different in industrialized nations. And still today, there are countries in the world where the gospel hasn't penetrated and where child labor is still practiced in appalling conditions. So Jesus' words and his example give us a different, a better, an improved understanding so that we can have the strength to do what is right, to do what we don't think we're capable of, to go beyond our own strength and our own selves in living and loving heroically through self-sacrifice and service. And we are taught not only to practice such virtues towards our family members, but even towards strangers. That's the greatness of the gospel. So when we hear these words, they are a challenge to us. They are a challenge, and for some, they will involve great sacrifice. There will be sons and daughters who leave home, leave their parents, in order to answer a call to religious vocation, to go to the other part of the world as missionaries, to embrace a life of celibacy in which grandchildren don't figure into the picture. There will always be such individual and heroic sacrifices. But there will also be the sacrifices that sustain family life, that sustain the elderly, in which our parents are honored in their final years, and in which adult children may have to care for their parents in the way that they were cared for when they were babes. We see the sacrifices, and you make the sacrifices for your children to have a better life, a better chance, a better beginning, perhaps, than you did yourselves. And you can turn to Christ and say, Lord, support me, strengthen me in this so that I can be better than I am, so that I can be more faithful, more loving, more generous, more patient. Give me that power so that I can truly love and be the leader and the servant in my family that you call me to be. Help me to do this. You are always faithful. Help me to be more faithful. That's what today's gospel means for us. And then we are reassured by his words that whatever efforts we make, even giving a cold cup of water to someone in need, will be rewarded, not forgotten, the least effort that we make will be remembered by God and rewarded by Him. So on this Canada Day weekend, today's gospel not only affirms and confirms the good that you're doing, it lays down a challenge for all of us. And so on this weekend, the bishops of Canada have invited us to do something very special. On this 150th anniversary of the Confederation, this 100th anniversary of the apparition of Our Lady at Fatima, the bishops have invited us to pray a consecration to Mary, a reconsecration of the nation. The first of these was done in 1954. And so after the Creed, we will pray the Creed first. We'll turn towards the statue of the Blessed Mother, our statue being that of Our Lady of Lourdes, and I will read the first part of the consecration prayer, and then invite you to join in as we ask our Blessed Mother to be the teacher, the mediatrix, the guide that her Son has constituted her to be on our behalf, so that we may have that strength, so that we may be loyal and faithful, so that we truly may glorify God and be the sons and daughters, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers that God wants us to be and that we want to be with His aid.